No.
What's your least favorite scary movie?
Did you know the police have voicemail? Welcome to What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie, the podcast where we talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the absurd in all of our favorite
and least favorite
scary movies.
Because we believe every horror movie rightfully has its fan base.
Even if we don't always get it.
My name is Travis.
My name is Jesse.
And happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yay, gobble gobble.
Yeah, we've got a fun little Thanksgiving themed episode for you guys today. We're going to be talking about 2021's Black Friday.
Yes, we are. First, I've got a couple quick announcements. The first one is that our To Be or Not To Be episode on Meet the Killer Parents was released this past Sunday, so be sure to go check that out if you haven't already. Mm-hmm. The second is that if you don't want to wait another, at a minimum, year to hear us talk about the new Eli Roth Thanksgiving slasher Thanksgiving, you can go check out our episode that we recorded on The Decision Reel. They invited us over there for an extra reel episode to talk about the new movie with Steve and Randy. So
yeah, it was a good time.
Pretty good time. You can hear some of our thoughts on it. And to sum it up, go watch it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about it maybe next year's Thanksgiving. But yeah, for now, you'll get a teaser of something at least.
Yeah. And then finally, if you are a budget tier patron, be sure to check out the commentary track we released for Blood Rage.
Yeah, that right there, you can actually, if you want to, play it while you're having Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we can all be there together on Thanksgiving watching Blood Rage together. You know, it's a good time. It's a great Thanksgiving movie.
I'm Todd. You're Todd. We're all Todd. We're all Todd.
Some of us is going to be the mom that day, just like sitting on the fridge
in front of the fridge. Yeah.
Eating turkey, macaroni, drinking wine.
Right out of the casserole dish.
Not our proudest moment, but we've all been there.
I'm not ashamed.
I'm not ashamed either. No. Everybody has that time.
I'm not proud, but I'm not embarrassed.
All right, cool. So yeah, we got a lot of cool things here. But for now, we're going to talk about Black Friday. But before we do that, we have our poll results from last week's movie.
Okay.
So last week we talked about software.
Software.
So as you guys know, for our Saw movies, we like to ask you guys, which of the traps from that movie would you survive? So on Instagram, okay, first off, we got the mausoleum, which is the one from the beginning where it's the two dudes.
Sewn eyes, sewn mouth.
Yeah. Then you got the scalping seat, the bedroom trap, which is the guy with the ice picks to the eyes, and the knife chair. Okay. So on Instagram, 56% believe they'd survive the mausoleum. 11% think the scalping seat would be theirs. 11% believe they could take on the bedroom trap. And 22% think they could survive the knife chair. Meanwhile, over on Twitter, 40% would survive the mausoleum, 20% the scalping seat, and 40% the bedroom trap. Nobody would survive the knife chair.
Okay.
We already said ours. I think I'd do the scalping seat.
I'd channel my best Jim Halpert in The Quiet Place and do the mausoleum.
Yeah. If you're him, if you're the guy with the eyes sewn shut, maybe.
I would say, hey, have you seen The Quiet Place? Can you sacrifice yourself the way John Krasinski does at the end for his children? And then that person's just going to be like, oh my God, can we talk about that for a minute? And then like their stitches are pulled open. So it's
they're like, what the fuck was that? Like, why do people like that movie? Okay. So yeah, that was our poll.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about Black Friday.
This is the first watch for us both.
Yeah, it was. We just wanted to do something different. There's not a whole lot of movies out there surrounding this holiday. Yeah. So
we put it up on the Patreon for our budget patrons and they voted on this one. So we're really excited that you guys did.
It was between this and the Into the Dark Pilgrim episode, which that's a good movie too, but you know, I'm glad that we also have the opportunity to talk about this one.
Yeah,
so let's bust into those doors and get this one started.
All right,
so Black Friday premiered September 24th, 2021 at Fantastic Fest.
Oh, okay.
Wide release 2 years ago exactly from today, November 19th, 2021.
Okay. Okay.
We watched it on Plex because, yes, Plex is a place where you can, mm-hmm. you know, do your own shit, but it's also a streaming service for other people.
Also, it's really cool because it tells you what time the movie will be over yeah. based on ads and you pausing, fast forwarding, rewinding, all of that.
It's really cool. Real time. Yeah, like I saw that on the buffer bar. It's like, your movie will end at 9 p.m. I'm like, fuck, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, well, not anymore because I'm 9:30 because we had to pause to feed the pets.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens. It's available, though, to stream on Plex, Crackle, Fubo TV, and Redbox. But if you have to rent it, you can rent it on Apple, Amazon, YouTube, or Vudu.
Okay.
It was written by Andy Griskowiak, directed by Casey Thibault, music by Patrick Stump, and special effects makeup by Robert Kurtzman.
Yeah, Robert Kurtzman.
The monster designs, I believe. It said for sure on the opening credits.
That makes sense. He's a monster man.
He's a monster boy. That's for sure. I think the most recent movie that we talked about with him was Funhouse Massacre.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does good job.
Good job.
All right. The cast. Starring Devon Sawa as Ken. Ivana Basquero as Marnie. Ryan Lee as Chris. Stephen Peck as Brian. Michael J. White as Archie, and Bruce Campbell as Jonathan.
Okay.
All right, Jesse, time for our favorite game.
Budget or Bucked.
What do you think?
I think it's higher end Bucked.
Because of the names, right?
Yeah, because of the names. I think they brought in some good names. But also, I feel like this didn't get a ton. And it might just be because it was 2021, still kind of recovering from COVID and people not necessarily loving the idea of a movie theater.
Yeah. Well, I think whenever this released was also around the time when they had to do another shutdown kind. Well, not like a full shutdown, yeah, but like
Omicron stuff when, was resurging.
Yeah, yeah, we had a spike suddenly.
So I think that had some impacts on it. So I'm going to say, and like they just maybe didn't put as much into marketing and whatnot. So I'm going to say upper end Bucked.
Okay. Well, I wish I had a figure for you, but I don't. Okay. But at least I like at least discussing what we think it is. I'm kind of with you. I think it's on the upper end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, none of these guys are like super high demand actors. They're all like favorites within the horror
yeah.
community, but like they're not going to cost you like $10 million.
Also, there's a shit ton of effects, like a lot of effects.
Yeah. But some of the effects are kind of like when you're not doing the Robert Kurtzman stuff, it's a little on the side. But, you know, it all looks fine. So they have like a decent bit of money there, I think. I don't have an opening box office, but I do have one source for a worldwide gross that was on IMDb, and it is $1,581.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Again, like we said, this was during COVID still, and there was another, you know, spike that happened during this time, so that could have really hurt that. But I think that this was one that really was meant to live on the internet.
Yeah. This is for the weirdos.
Exactly. IMDb score 4.7 out of 10.
Not to spoil my ratings, but I think that's a rude rating.
Yeah, it is kind of surprising, honestly. All right, I have three movies from 2021 to compare it to.
Okay.
I don't have a theme.
Okay. Is one of them Spiral?
No.
Okay, I'm surprised because that's one that you you like to pull out for 2021 because that was our first like back in theater movie too.
It was, yeah, you're right. No, I didn't really think about that. I just kind of wanted to grab movies that I felt like we don't really bring up when we do these often.
Okay,
the first one, VHS 94.
Okay.
Which that one premiered on Shudder back on October 6, 2021.
And fun little bit of trivia. If I'm thinking of the right one, is this the one that has Bitch Cat in it?
Ratma? This is
Oh, no, okay.
Yeah, this is the one that has Ratma.
Okay, never mind. I was thinking of the other one, the 80s one then.
Oh, yeah.
The one with the band. Bitch Cat.
Wait. No, this is it. The 80s one is the one that just came out, I think. This is the one that has that, I think.
Okay, because that music was done by the same... Dressage, who did the music for My Valentine. She did the music for Bitch Cat.
Oh, yeah. I remember you telling me that. Yeah, cool.
Which I was like, oh, cool. She's got like a little niche.
Yeah, bringing it back to Into the Dark here, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have a budget for this and I don't have a gross, but I do have an IMDb score, and it's 5.5. And you know what? I think I kind of agree with that.
The VHS movies, I would say, are probably all like mid rating for me, just because all of the segments are very divisive.
Yeah. The only like, one that I feel like is like pretty well-rounded all around is 2. I feel like the first one's pretty solid too, but Viral has some...
Viral, I think, has the best wraparound, and I know there's people out there that will be mad at me for saying that, but I hate the wraparound for most of the VHS movies.
I love the wraparound for Viral. I like the weird what-the-fuckness of the VHS 2 one, where like just like shit happening in the background and nobody's acknowledging it. It's a weird series. We haven't watched the new one yet either. Yeah. We need to do that.
We need to.
All right, second movie, Escape Room, Tournament of Champions.
Oh, yeah. We did see this one in theaters.
We did, yep. That came out July 16th, 2021, with a budget of $15 million and a worldwide gross of $65 million. IMDb score, 5.7.
That feels right for that movie.
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah. I liked it. You know, I like that little series, honestly. They're just fun movies to watch, you know? Like, I love the whole theme of an escape room horror movie. Done well. We've seen some... ones that have not been done well.
Like the one with the successful Mion.
Yeah, and also the Mar Vista one, which, you know, speaking of Mar Vista, we had our 2 year and Not To Be, which was a Mar Vista movie.
Yeah,
so, you know, it's not like an automatic win, but this series right here does it pretty well, I think. And the final movie, this one is similar in name alone, The Black Phone.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, that one came out... June 24th, 2021.
We watched this one streaming.
Yeah, we didn't watch this one in theaters. We held off on that because I didn't.
You weren't sold.
I wasn't sold on going to theaters, and after watching it at home, I wasn't sold on watching it at home either. I know people love this movie, but I didn't really think it was.
I liked it.
Yeah. Well, I had a budget of $18 million, worldwide gross of $161 million. And an IMDb of 6.9. So it's got its fan base out there for sure.
I don't know if you know this or not. And I feel like you don't, because I feel like you would have said something if you did. It's based off of a book.
Uh-huh, I know.
By Stephen King's son.
Yeah, I know that.
Okay.
That was one of my things about that movie, is I said it feels like it's like it should be a book. Like it just didn't translate well to a movie to me. Like it felt like a book.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, I just didn't care for it because of that. So yeah, those were the three movies we have to compare this one to that came out in 2021. Next up, we got our taglines. I got two.
Okay. That's two more than we had for Tubi, so yeah, well, I'll take it.
I got worried for a second because I looked at the poster and I didn't see anything. So I don't know where they were, but we do have two taglines here. Okay. So the first one. It's Thanksgiving, and the Black Friday shoppers are coming for deals, bargains, and blood.
I feel like deals and bargains is a bit redundant.
Yeah, it's...
Just say they're coming for bargains and blood. That's nice. It's alliterative.
Yeah. Bargains and blood. Yeah, blood and bargains, bargains and blood.
You good? You good?
Just keep it going. Yeah, okay. Just get stuck on that. Yeah. And the second one, don't let the holidays eat you alive. I think that one's okay.
I think it's okay. the creatures are kind of confusing because they're like partially zombies but partially aliens.
Yeah.
So they don't really fully eat people. They just like turn them.
Yeah. It doesn't really, I don't know. It doesn't fully commit to either one of them.
Yeah.
So it's kind of in this weird gray area of like, what the fuck are we dealing with here?
Yeah.
Overall, it's fairly solid, I guess. Okay, I got some fun facts. All right, there wasn't like a whole lot out there, but I did manage to find some things.
Okay.
So this was filmed in Boston, Massachusetts, which I feel is fitting for a Thanksgiving movie because I think it's in that area, like Massachusetts, Plymouth?
Yeah.
Yeah, Plymouth is where Thanksgiving, like the first one took place, I guess.
It's where the movie Thanksgiving takes place too, and that involves Black Friday. I'm not going to say more than that if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me like, oh shit, we're getting like a lot of the same things here whenever I watched that. Yeah. Which is weird if you haven't seen that movie and you've seen this one, like how is that movie aligned with this one? It does. Yeah. Trust me. Filming took place from November 16th to December 16th, 2020.
Solid month. Okay, and during COVID.
Yeah, during COVID, which is surprising, really. I guess it was like right around, well, not too far after they had figured out guidelines on how to do all that.
That explains why, like, the cast was split up a lot, or why you don't see a lot of interaction with them with big crowds.
Yeah, you like, for it to be a Black Friday movie, you mm-hmm. don't get like a bit, like for a minute you get a shit ton of people, but then after that everybody just kind of like evacuates.
Yeah. They have to go gather.
Yeah, exactly. So Bruce Campbell, Devon Sawa, and Michael J. White joined the cast on November 17th. So remember, this started right filming after on the 16th.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know
they're
why.
They're fashionably late. They're the biggest names. They could do it.
Yeah, I don't know what they were doing on November 16th, but whatever happened, Casey Tebow was like, yo, hold on, y'all. I got some reinforcements coming in tomorrow.
Okay.
So there was an interview with Devon Sawa online. He was talking about this movie, and he said the reason that he was drawn to it is because the script stood out to him compared to what all was being sent his way around that time. He said he felt like a lot of movies were doing horror comedy the mm-hmm. wrong way. And he said it reminded him a lot of Idle Hands.
Okay.
Which, you know, that's a good compliment to have, really. Because, like, we've talked about Idle Hands a few times on this show, and we love it.
And here's the thing, too, is that I think Devon Sawa does a really good job in horror comedy. Don't get me wrong. He's fantastic in Final Destination. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's one of the straightest movies I've seen him in.
Yeah, honestly, like, because I think about that, and whenever I think of him, I think of that movie, but then, like, anything else I've seen him in, it's usually something to do with comedy. Yeah.
Like, I fucking love his rolling shtick in the Chucky TV series. I hope that man just keeps getting killed off and brought back, and they make vague comments about how similar he looks to to his dad for like however many seasons the show goes on for. It's amazing.
It is, yeah. No, he does a great job with comedy. I'm glad that he's gravitated towards that. But you know, that's kind of cool.
His
that...
online presence is pretty amusing too.
What's that?
His online presence is pretty amusing too.
Yeah,
he's just like a funny guy.
He's a
like,
cool guy.
He does good with horror comedy because he's just a funny guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He said that he was really nervous to work with Bruce because he's a big fan. So,
aww.
He said, right out the gate, first day, he had to go up to Bruce and tell him that he was a big fan of his, just to get it out of his nerves. And apparently they had like a great, you know, working relationship together. They had a good time shooting together. Bruce Campbell, though, the reason he signed on is because he dug the script because it was a character that wasn't anything like Ash.
I know, I loved seeing this side of Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, and I was reading this interview, and from the sounds of it, a lot of people, when they get Bruce Campbell or they write something with him in mind, they're writing something for Ash.
Yeah.
And he said that he likes to remind people, when you're casting me, you're not casting Ash. You're casting Bruce Campbell. I'm an actor. That's a character that I play.
Yeah. No, I loved him in this role.
Yeah.
I think he did a really good job with it.
And he said, you mentioned before, like, how he acts like a coward throughout the movie. He said that that was what he made sure to do. He said he wanted to do everything exactly the opposite of how Ash would do it. Whenever a scene would start, he would make sure that his character was placed as close to the door as possible, or at least hiding behind someone or something. That way, you know, he's a coward. That's the character he is in this movie. But he said he also liked the whole process of getting to grow, as he described it, a sweet manager's stash, and also getting to wear a bow tie.
Yeah. It really added to the whole, like, dorkiness of his character.
Yeah, it did. And he's also a producer on this movie, so, you know, I'm sure.
So is Devon Sawa.
Oh, was he? Really?
Yeah, okay, yeah, so I saw his name when the credits were going.
So, yeah, they also had other reasons to do this as well. So, you know. But, yeah, those were the full bit of facts that I got for this movie.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so now it is time for us to begin talking about it. So, Jesse, what do you think about this movie? You start us off.
I really like the setting of this because I know, like, it's Black Friday, and I feel like that's, like, important to the movie because the whole thing is, like, once they're turned, like, they're still gathering in the stores. Like, it's always in the stores.
Yeah.
And I think that's, like, an interesting take on it. I like that we get all the different types of people you meet in retail. God, that hit so hard.
This movie right here, like, if you've worked retail, you can feel it. And actually, yeah. I forgot to mention, the writer of this movie worked at a Toys R Us. So, like, they knew that whole experience. That's why it's set in, like, a you know, one of these locations, like a toy store.
And neither of us has worked. Well, you worked at Walmart.
I've worked at like a couple of Walmarts. Yeah, I've worked retail.
I've never worked retail, but I've worked food service, which is very similar.
It's a similar beast.
Yeah. So you know all of these archetypes, and it's great.
I'm lucky enough to have never worked retail during the holidays, though.
Yeah.
Which I can only imagine how terrible that experience is. I'm sorry for any of you if you guys have done that or still do that. You know, my heart goes out to you.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, too, is that it shows, like, how, like, that's what's great. Because not only do you get the archetypes, but you also get, like, the kind of bullshittery that comes along with it.
Right.
Both in, like, how customers treat you, how corporate treats you. I think the dynamics of it all makes sense in the way it's done. So I think that's really great. I care about all of the characters that stick around.
Yeah.
And I think that's really special. And I also love, like, all of the references to other movies. Because we get references to, like, Alien, Predator. I feel like there's, like, a Ghostbusters moment at the end. Like, the creature I was referring to is Mother.
Uh-huh.
In my notes, like, a very Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man.
There's also references to Evil Dead also Idle Hands.
Yeah. Absolutely. Actually,
this could also kind of play into some of the fun facts, I guess. But, like, yeah, the Bruce Campbell, you know, Ash chops off his hand. They suggest Devin Sawa's character do that. But also he does the same thing in Idle Hands.
Yeah. And I love kind of that moment where, like, there's almost half a second too long lingering on Bruce Campbell after they suggest cutting off his hands. Like, it's very tongue-in-cheek. This movie knows exactly what it is, even if it's like 50,000 things all in kind of like a cosmic gumbo, if you will. And I think it's really well done. Like, I have a fun time watching it. It's like horror people doing a horror movie and just having fucking fun with it.
Right.
You know?
I should also mention, what was the name of the bear? It was Dour Andy.
Dour Dennis.
Dour Dennis.
I want a Dour Dennis bear.
So another, I guess you can call like a reference, that was voiced by Seth Green, who
is in Idle Hands with Dennis.
Yeah, exactly. He's his friend. And they have that whole moment in the store where he's talking to Dour Dennis. The guitar's like, shut up, Dennis. He's like, oh, I miss my wife.
I want the Dour Dennis bear.
Yeah, I love that idea as a toy. Like, this divorced dad teddy bear. It's like, okay, yeah, it's great. I love it. Okay, so yeah, I kind of agree with a lot that you said there. I think that the cast for this movie is really good. The fact that they were able to pull these people in for this right here for like a little indie flick, you know, it's impressive. The humor hits pretty well. I liked the character dynamics between all of the people that work there, because everybody knows that person when you work in that type of setting. Because like Devin Sawa's character, like, he's like the cool guy. He's still like pretending like he's in high school, even though he's like, you know, full blown adult with like a wife, ex-wife and kids.
Yeah.
You know, like Dour Dennis.
And he's dating the very much younger girl in the store.
Yeah. Like I told you after, like, it reminded me of watching Waiting.
Yeah. Because,
you know, it just kind of like hits those beats. Like, it's so relatable for people that work in that type of setting.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's just really funny. And I just like these characters a lot. It was great to be able to like watch them this entire time. Okay, bad. What did you not like about this?
Well, kind of on that same note, I think we kind of missed out on some opportunities with Anita.
Yeah.
Because she's like the one that takes her job too seriously, but she has no actual authority.
Same with Brian. Although we do explore Brian a little bit more.
Yeah, Brian is like actually an assistant manager. So their character like makes enough sense. But we don't get that like power dynamic with Anita being there and definitely trying to, like, I think that could have been a fun opportunity to explore, you know?
Yeah, she does just kind of get cast aside pretty fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I wish we would have gotten more stuff with the shoppers too.
Yeah.
Because like they get turned so fast that we don't get to see the shitty side of that as much as, you know. As shitty as it is, it's still kind of like entertaining to watch for this type of movie.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else?
That was like really my biggest thing is that like, yeah, we don't get enough of that kind of a character dynamic interaction. But also knowing that like this was shot during a COVID resurgence.
Yeah.
Or no, this was just shot during COVID.
Yeah.
I think that kind of explains some of it, and I think it's still well done enough that, like, I'm okay with it.
Okay. My bad is I thought that the setup was kind of meh. Like, okay. It just kind of happens. They find this, like, little goopy, like, alien thing that's kind of, like, breathing. And then shit just kind of, like, goes crazy. And we don't really get, like, an explanation on anything. Like, you don't need an explanation always, but we don't really fully understand what's happening with that the entire movie. It's just kind of happening.
I guess I could find another bad, which is that we don't get, like, a resolution with it. And you know what I would have really liked?
What?
So I know a lot of people hate this episode of Futurama, the attack of the app or whatever, where they have the iPhones and all of that.
That is the worst Futurama episode.
I disagree. But I like the ending that it basically zombifies all of them and has them marching off to the store again. I wish we had, like, some sort of resolution with that, because we just see them driving away and we see them pass another store that is also being invaded.
Yeah, you see another
I wish we had kind of a resolution that it's, like, a consumerist alien species that just, like, is obsessed with finding the best deals or something.
That would have,
like,
been great.
Yeah, it would have been, like, a real fun ending to it. Yeah. And very, like, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod, we get it. Black Friday's kind of insane.
Yeah, instead it's just, like, Devin Saw was like, y'all want some pancakes?
Yeah.
So, y'all want some pancakes? My dad said that to me one time when we were home for Christmas.
Yeah, like, your mom were, like, kind of squabbling about something, and he just, like, jumped in between and goes, who wants pancakes? Yeah.
That's the best way to, like, disfuse the entire situation. It's like even a little clap, like, y'all want some pancakes?
He did the finger guns and everything. Yeah. It's amazing.
It was great. Yeah. That was Devin's always like the dad in this situation. He, you know, he was their dad. It's like, I've had enough of this shit. Y'all want some pancakes? If you want to end any conflict, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
He should have said that to the aliens. Dude, they would have been up for that.
They'd be like, okay.
I also thought that the monsters themselves were really not that interesting. Like,
I liked watching the evolution of the mock, because, like, the more you kill them, the more they devolve, and I like seeing the different layers of the monster transformations.
Yeah. I just didn't like Robert Crispin's. He's usually pretty good, but I just didn't. I felt like the design was just really kind of, like, uninspired,
creepy, like almost like they're halfway between a human and a turkey. Like, the way their faces become almost pointed.
Yeah, a little bit.
It looks turkey-like to me. I like the design.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's fine. And, like, I guess the last thing, like, I mean, I already said, but, like, what they're, like, building something, and it's just never really fully explained. Like, they turn into, like, a giant monster. Like, what the fuck is happening? I don't understand what's happening. They don't understand what's happening. There's, like, nothing, like... Kind of like you said, there's no resolution. It's just like, well, that happened. Let's go get some pancakes. It's just weird.
Which I feel like almost the book version of the mist is how it ends. They just kind of drive off into nothingness. So
okay, yeah. You know. So that's how this one ends right here. Yeah. I guess kind of. Yeah. All right. Ugly.
Definitely, like, not ever being able to, like, slow down, because this isn't even, like. I think we need to treat retail workers better. It's not something that you should look down on people for working at. You need to buy your shit. Like, how else are you going to go buy toilet paper and groceries and stuff if we don't have people working in those stores? It's a very important profession. I think the greed on the part of corporations, like, oh, we're going to have all these sales, we're going to make so much money, and we're going to ruin people's lives with it. Like, they're gonna miss out on Thanksgiving with their family, they're gonna make minimum wage, we're gonna do layoffs after the holidays after we've squeezed them for all the labor they have. It's very ugly, and it's very real, and it sucks.
Well, it's also the way they talked to each other about just working there in the first place. Like, it's like a shameful thing. Like, who fucking cares, man? It's a job.
Yeah.
Like, people need work. Like, it's just something that, like, somebody's gotta do it.
You know what's great? Devin is buying shit for his kids.
Yeah. Devin's got a nice-ass car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He, like, drives Chris to work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like?
Yeah, I don't really care for that. They kind of, like, try and shame it a little bit in this right here. Like, Devin, you were, like, still working here. Like, yeah, so fucking what, kid? Like, you're a fucking kid. What do you know?
Yeah, like, sometimes you just have to, like, you work a job, and, like, the whole, like, okay, well, I got laid off, and I told my wife that this job was just temporary, and now it's 4 years later, but, like, Also, that shit just kind of happens sometimes.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, what else was he supposed to do? Is he supposed to change careers when he's in the middle of going through a divorce? That fucks up your credit and shit. Like, you have to maintain employment. It can be really hard to get. And we don't know what his job was beforehand. We don't know what kind of, like, a recruitment and interview process that is. Like, it's just, it's a very real thing that people actually go through.
Yeah, exactly.
And the point of the matter is that you are doing what you have to do to survive.
Yeah, exactly. It shouldn't be looked down on in any way. And along with that, my uglies are, you know, like the rude shoppers in retail, because they also treat them like shit the entire time there when we do get to see them.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun to see, like, in this movie, because it's poking fun of them at the same time. But in reality, like, when you think about it, like, this isn't really, like, out of line from what you would expect to see in the real world. Well, like, that right there is what actually happens.
Chris apparently doesn't work register very often, but they're going to put him on register on the busiest night of the year, and then this old lady is going to be mean to him that he's having trouble ringing something up.
Yeah.
I felt so bad for him. And, like, the more she's mean to him, the more flustered he gets, the harder time he has. Like, I feel bad for him in that moment. You know what it makes me think of? This mean old man at a restaurant I was working in who brought a 3-month expired coupon for a free cookie that cost $1.50 at regular price, and then yelled at me and said that I personally was treating all customers like crap for not accepting an expired coupon, and that he has 27 of them tucked away in his truck's dashboard. And I'm like, why didn't you use one of the 27 before now? And he said, I want to buy this for my granddaughter. And I'm like, well, you're trying to get it for free, so you're not actually buying it.
Yeah, fucking buy it then, dude. Yeah.
Anyway. When I said I have experience and I can relate to this movie, I meant it.
Yeah. Shit, what the fuck was I thinking?
I don't know. Do you just want to move on to absurd, and if you come up with it later?
Okay, sure. Yeah, okay. All right, so absurd.
Absurd. As much as I love him, I'm going to say Dour Dennis, because who greenlit that?
I love that idea.
It's my favorite part of the movie, but yeah, it's definitely absurd that it would be a thing, and that the batteries malfunction so badly it catches fire.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it's Seth Green, too.
Yeah.
I love it so much. Mine, I have Devin Sauer roast session with live audience.
With audience participation.
Because, yeah. Like, whenever Brian's like, ooh, it's so funny. But, like, at the time, I was like, God damn, they're really laying into Devin. Like, the entire time, I just wrote them down. Like, it's like Devin and Bruce, because I didn't care to listen or, like, find out what their names actually were.
Yeah.
That's just who they are to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just like, God damn, you guys are being relentless to him right there. And then you're not even doing it to Bruce Campbell's character, who is the manager. Oh yeah, by the way, the thing I was thinking of.
Okay.
Another thing.
I thought we would get to it eventually.
Yeah, the ugly thing. The whole kind of relating to what you were talking about with the customer. Like, in the movie, he says, and remember, the customer is always right. Like, that is one of the worst fucking things that has ever been said and taken into...
Definitely taken out of context, because the customer is always right means the customers are going to buy what they're going to buy, and you don't tell them they're wrong for buying what they're going to buy. It doesn't mean that you can use a 3-month expired coupon just because you decided to stockpile them for the 8 months it was going on, sir.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I try to remind people whenever they say that, like, that's not what it means. It actually means this right here, just because I don't want customers and people to think that they have that kind of power. Like, well, I said it, so I'm, you know, obviously I'm the customer. It's right. Like, fuck you, fucking assholes. Yeah. Okay.
Do you have any other absurd?
No.
Okay. You're right then. Overall, I think I'm gonna give this movie, I think I'm gonna give it a 7.
Okay, that's actually where I'm at.
With 7. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Good little movie here. Yeah. It's fun to watch for this time of year. Again.
Yeah.
I love me some holiday themed movies, and I like that we are getting some more Thanksgiving stuff here lately. I'm liking this trend that, you know, people are realizing there's a vacancy there. So, okay, let's talk about it.
All right. We start off with a man in a closed store on Thanksgiving. He's amazed that people are already lined up outside for Black Friday deals. He finds something gross and pulsating, and then there's like a sploosh. His name is Marty, which we find out because his coworkers are looking for him. And then they find a squirmy tentacly version of Marty.
Yeah, it like possesses him or some shit. And then title card, Black Friday.
And then we have like these really cool credits. I don't know why, but I just really liked the way the credits were. Like the font on everything.
I appreciate like fun credits like this right here.
Yeah, and nice. I love like Christmas music that is very cynical.
Yeah.
Which is what we get in these opening credits. It's very much like the opening of Krampus where it's like people fighting each other, but it's Christmas music.
So we open up with the beginning of the Devon Sawa roast session.
Yeah, the kids are upset that they have to go. Well, actually, this is Devon Sawa's ex-wife's boyfriend's roast session because his kids are upset that they have to
go
because they like he sucks, and then they're like, "Do you realize how sad it is we had Thanksgiving?"
That's
breakfast?
What I'm talking about. That's roasting Devon Sawa. Is like I had to have breakfast on Thanksgiving with my daughters.
It's implied that he got to work at like 8 p.m., so he could have had just like lunch. Or early dinner with them. Like, why did they have to do breakfast?
Yeah.
There are other hours in the day.
Yeah, I know. I don't. He took them to get pancakes.
Yeah. So anyway, his Daddy Devin's got to go to work. That's what I called him in my notes.
Daddy
at the time.
Devin.
Daddy Devin.
Yeah. He drops him off at the mom's house and he goes over to pick up Chris.
And he's like, heroes work on Thanksgiving.
I like that.
And I think that especially hit because when he said that, I kind of wanted to laugh because this is all just like Black Friday deals. Not that it takes away from anything what I said earlier about how very important retail workers are and we shouldn't look down on them. But it's like, it's fucking Black Friday. But I think it hit especially hard post-COVID.
That's
when
what I was
we had
too.
To have like the stores open for people. And those people had to go be around entitled rude customers breathing their COVID germs all over their faces all day long.
Yeah, and having to make them wear masks and shit, which people thought was like the worst fucking thing you could have
somebody's
ever done
getting
to
paid
them.
$7.25 an hour to have their lives threatened by somebody who can handle a piece of paper over their face for 20 minutes.
Yeah. It, so
Jesus.
Honestly, like, yeah, heroes.
Yeah.
They are heroes.
Yes,
for doing that,
absolutely.
For sure.
So Daddy Devin goes and picks up Chris, whose family is so mean to him.
This is so weird. I thought it was really strange that we're getting like, it's Chris, but like it's all things from the neck down. So it doesn't want to reveal his face just yet. I'm like, why are we?
I thought it was going to be like a well-known person.
That's what I thought too. Like, yeah, what are we hiding here? But then it pans up and it's just Chris is like, oh, is the reveal that it's just like some white kid? Like, okay, great. I guess it's whatever. We're in for a wild ride today, guys.
I did like their banter as they were coming to the car and he goes, and in this corner, weighing it at 100 pounds and probably a vegetarian.
Yeah, that was pretty good. But yeah, he gets in. Devin's always a nice ass car.
And then he's like, oh, nice booster seat you have in the back of this ride.
Yeah, he's like, booster seat's for you, pal. You're a baby.
So as they're driving in, they notice that the other store is closed and there's like a speeding SUV that almost hits them. They arrive for their 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. shift. They're supposed to get their holiday bonus at the clock out, and they're also supposed to be making time and a half for working the holiday.
Which
this is what they
should.
Have been told.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Nice setup there.
There's a brief like glimpse of a news report cautioning, and then we don't see what they're really cautioning because the person changes the channel in the break room to
Curse
of Chucky.
I like that little detail there. That was cool because obviously Devon Sawa was like on Chucky at this time.
So Anita, she is very uptight, very much a rule follower, and she says that corporate says Black Friday is racist, so they're gonna call it Green Friday. Green is in Christmas. And money.
Yep.
And then she threatens to have Chris written up for having his shirt untucked.
Yeah, like, Jesus Christ.
He's in the break room, Anita.
Yeah,
calm down.
Get the fuck over it. This person is somebody that just loves the little bit of power she has. So she's going to abuse it as much as possible. The rest of them are up front, and Devon Sawa's got like a little flask. They're all sneaking some drinky poos in there to help get them through the night. And then Bruce Campbell gets on the PA talking about some OSHA.
Yeah, he says that this is the most dangerous day for retail workers because people have been killed in stampedes, and that's a real thing.
Yep. And then he does like the little chant, what do we love? And then only one person responds, toys.
Wait, no, there were three announcements.
Oh,
so
what
we
else?
Got the, yeah, we got the OSHA.
Uh-huh.
So be careful. Dower Dennis was recalled due to issues with the battery.
Okay.
And then also, by the way, there's going to be no paid breaks. Thanks!
Right. And then what do we love? Toys.
Yes.
Because we still got to be amped up.
Yeah. Chris is put on register Emmett, the new guy, is going to be shadowing Daddy Devin, who very much does like a Ryan Reynolds. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Thing. You need to try as little as possible.
It felt a lot like that right there. And mm-hmm. it was also really weird. Emmett rolls in on rollerblades. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah. Dude? Like, did they, was this part of the thing? Or do you just like to use, is it Willys maybe?
Yeah.
Could be Willys.
Oh, Heelys.
Heelys. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
He's probably got some Heelys on. So now the shopper's busting, mm-hmm. and there's a product placement montage. We get Xbox,
Paw Patrol.
We get, I don't even know what the fuck it is, but it's some kind of racing thing. But obviously somebody buys that shit.
Yeah.
This is probably how they got a lot of funding
for
this movie.
We have somebody going down the line that's just throwing stuff in their cart, and like it's just so upsetting because there's like no thought going into it. It's like, I'm just going to buy everything because it's a good deal. But like, buy the shit you want to buy. Here's the thing. I will take advantage of, like, say, a Prime Day deal. Mm-hmm. But I'm very careful about what I will buy. And Travis can attest to this. I only look at the things that I've had saved on the list for a while because it's, like, something that I've been wanting. I will see if it's in a good deal. But because they've been in my saved list for a while, I know what their regular price is. So I know if they tried to sneaky mark it up at the last minute. So when they say, oh, it's 30% off, I'm like, actually, mm-hmm. it's not. Yesterday, you just decided to hike it up by 30% and mark it down to the price it's always been at and market it as a deal. Not falling for it. Although sometimes there are actual legitimate deals. You just have to do your research ahead of time.
Yeah, we'll get into some of that because Bruce gives us the lowdown details here in the next little bit. We'll get there. But yeah, so we get to see there's like this little goop that's hiding underneath the chair, the goop that we saw from before. Yeah.
And there's goop on Chris's register keyboard and it's so gross. And the second I touched that, I would have been like, aah!
Yeah, it's nasty.
And instead he's just like shoving it everywhere else.
Yeah.
Making it way worse. And Brian comes up and Brian is very upset with Chris for being so slow. And they're like, okay, guess we have to close this register and you get to go clean vomit. But it's on Chris's way to go clean that up. He is attacked by an alien customer and in self-defense crushes the customer with a toy car.
Yeah, like just straight up takes one of those Jeeps and just psh, it's like a fucking wrestling match right there.
And so he gets tied up by the rest of the workers because it's like, holy shit, you just killed a woman and you're going to jail for the rest of your life. And he goes, no, she was trying to bite me. And they're like, no, we're gonna go send Artie to, is it Artie or Archie?
Archie.
We're going to send Archie to check on her, except Emmett gets there first.
Because he's got rollerblades. Mm-hmm. He's faster.
Yeah, exactly. He's on wheels.
Yeah.
And he tries to get there first. He tries to check on this woman, and then she attacks him. Mm-hmm. Daddy Devin helps.
Yep, saves the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all, like, they try to call the cops.
Yeah, and they can't get through to the cops. And Jonathan, Bruce Campbell, is just like, yeah, no, this is just Black Friday. It's just, yeah. I've seen way worse.
Yeah. People biting people, Jeeps being crushed on people. Yeah, it's fucking Black Friday, bro.
Yeah, and they keep trying to call the cops. And at one point, they get voicemail. And that's where Brian's like, did you know that the police have voicemail? Which is, like, such a funny sentence, but also, like, when you think about that, it's like, oh my god, how can the police have voicemail? Somebody yeah. should always be answering that phone.
Yeah.
Jonathan wants to reopen the store by 2 a.m. and they're like, are you fucking crazy? They all start fighting with Anita because she's kind of a brat. Emmett has what appears to be a seizure, and then he face huggers Anita to death.
Yeah. Oh god, the little like white shit that they like use to grab onto them is mm-hmm. really weird. Like yeah. it's upsetting to look at that.
Then he becomes like a zombie, and Archie hits him with a nail gun in mm-hmm. the head because they're following zombie rules. Even though they're not fully zombies. It's great because they're like an amalgamation of all of the different monsters we've seen in monster movies throughout the years.
Yeah.
So we don't, like, they're doing the best rules that they know how.
Yeah, they're trying. They're yeah. doing things.
They keep trying the police, and they end up somehow connecting to a different store who thinks they're calling the police. And they're like, no, the customers need to be kept separate from each other because they gather. And they're, everybody's like, what the fuck does that mean? And then Jonathan is just like absolutely in despair. He's like, we just need to get out of here. It's the worst. I'll go down with the ship. Da 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 da. And then Anita tries to grab him as a zombie and Marnie saves him. Mm. So somehow the shoppers manage to get back in the store because one of the doors was left unlocked.
Yeah, from the back. Mm-hmm. They realize that the back door is open still.
Yeah.
So
they split up. A group of them is going to go try and clear out the store and secure it. while the other group is going to go wait in the office.
And Devin and Bruce go to the bathroom because Bruce got to go take a poo-poo.
Well, Daddy Devin is like, I'm going to go to the bathroom real quick. And Jonathan's like, I should go with you. Jonathan, like, that's a girl rule. Out in a public space, we're going to go to the bathroom together. Safety in numbers, yeah, et cetera. And Jonathan is like, okay, cool, we're going to go together. And then Daddy Devin tries to get his secret stash from the floor tile or the ceiling tile. And Jonathan's like, what the fuck? So, and he's like, let's not worry about it right now.
We forgot to mention there was also a guy, Lewis, who was the truck driver, and he had to go take a shit earlier. And he was also looking like he was feeling very sick. All of a sudden, Lewis comes out of the stall, and he's one of the monster zombie things.
Yeah.
And Bruce Campbell is just hiding in the bathroom still.
Yeah. They end up, like, stabbing him while they're in the bathroom. Marnie sees the shoppers hugging, like, the mother creature. That's just what I ended up referring to it. It's, like, this big, glowing, pulsating pink thing.
Yeah.
I just referred to it as mother because it is drawing them all to it, and they're like hugging it, and
I just don't fucking know. They're building. That's all we gotta know.
They're gathering.
Whatever. Yeah, they always. Devin's
like, I'm gonna take my bonus and I'm gonna leave, and then that's when Jonathan's like, actually, there's no bonuses this year, and Brian's like, but you said there were bonuses. You didn't say anything about that when you mentioned the layoffs after the holidays. And they're all like, what the fuck?
Yeah. So they're all, the morale's kind of shot there.
Yeah. And then to make things worse, a cop car crashes into the front of the store. So all the customers come right back in. All that work they just did was for naught.
Yeah, and it's Ruth, which is like the older woman there. She's just standing in front of the door. And she's like, oh, the cops are here. And then she's like, psh!
Yeah.
And just like kills her.
Yeah, they swarm. Chris is about to be taken by a face hugger zombie, but Archie saves him. He tells Chris to go, and he fights the rest of them that are coming at him.
Yeah, they get Archie.
Yeah, poor Archie. It's sad. I liked Archie. I wanted more Archie.
Yeah, me too. That is the last we see of him, isn't it?
I think so.
He just kind of sacrifices himself right there. So Emma reappears, and he's then bashed by Marnie.
He's more predatory in this moment. Mm-hmm. He's got like the stuff in the back of his head and a little bit more of a face mask type thing.
Yeah, he is transforming a little bit more.
But they get him once again. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, this can't get any worse. And the lights go off, and Jonathan's like, I mean, that's pretty good timing, right, guys?
So yeah, now they're just kind of chilling in the back room trying to figure out what to do next.
They make a little glow stick fire in a crate, and I like that.
Yeah, I like this too. I like this whole scene. So, like, they have on their name tags, like, hi, I'm blank. I've worked here.
I've
been loving toys for blank. Yeah. Like, how many years they've, or how long they've been working there. So, like, they're taking their tags off and, like, saying how long they've been there. So, Emmett, they read his because they chucked his in first. It's like, Emmett, one month. They're like, wow, that's the fastest somebody's ever, like, quit here before. Brian, 8 years.
Yeah, Brian is the assistant manager, and they really have been drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Devin Saw has been there for 10 years.
Yeah, it started off as like just a way to pay the bills after being laid off from his old job, and now he's here, and his wife has moved on.
Mm-hmm. Marnie, for 4 years. I don't think we get any more info on her. Chris has been there for 2 years.
Yeah.
Chris is like, yeah, I was really excited about this place. I used to love this place as a kid, but I realized once I growed up that the magic isn't really there after all. And it's kind of shitty.
It didn't help that his dad was kind of an asshole because he was so excited to have his first job and at a place he loved so much. And his dad's like, haha, welcome to the corporate world. It'll suck your soul out.
Yeah, like, whoa, thanks, Dad. I'm glad you're happy for me.
That's like a classic example of like the older generation being like, I suffered in this way, therefore you should suffer in this way. And there's no such thing as progress. We all have to experience the same misery.
Yeah. And then finally we get Jonathan, or Bruce Campbell, who's been there for 27 years, and he loves everything about this place.
Yes, he said it's his family, and it's kind of sad.
He's like, yeah, you know what? This is my favorite place in the world. Like, I still see the magic. It's great. I love all you guys.
And then Marnie decides that this, if they're going to have to be stuck here on potentially their last Thanksgiving, they're going to at least have some turkey. So she goes to the staff fridge and pulls out some turkey deli slices.
Yeah.
And gives everybody a slice. This is where Chris and Daddy Devin have their public roast session.
Well, okay, before that, though, that's when Bruce starts dropping the Black Friday
secrets.
He's like, by the way, yeah, they get you in there with some of the deals that some of it is marked down, but really that stuff right there, you're going to need some accessories for it. That stuff is marked up to normal price. You're getting ripped off. It's all just kind of a scam.
Yep.
And then, yeah, Devin and Chris get into like a little
basically
fight.
They start arguing over who likes working there more.
Yeah,
because Chris is like, you obviously like working here. You act like you're too cool for school, but you're still here after 10 years.
I never got the impression that he acted like he was too cool from it or for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got always the impression that he has to work to pay bills.
Yeah, like he's like a person that doesn't like his job. Whoa, concept.
Which is what Devin says to him. He's like, I've got responsibilities. You live at home with your parents.
And then he's like, yeah, by the way, I'm not your son. Stop treating me like your son. And that hurt Devin Sawa's character to
and
the core.
And then Marnie's like, yeah, you're old enough to be my dad. We're not really dating. And he's like,
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Chris brings her into it. He's like, yeah, by the way, you're fucking her, which is really fucking weird because you're like 40 and she's like 20 something. And then she's like, yeah, by the way, we're not a thing. And he's like,
but we're pancakes.
What about pancakes? Yeah.
So they all plan their escape. Meanwhile, we get an update on Mother out in the store, who looks like a giant pink dildo. It's very phallic. They plan to take Lou's truck, because Lou's truck is still backed up into the warehouse area.
Yeah, so they can
get the loading dock.
They can get into the trailer of it.
Yeah. Emmett is back yet again, and worse this time.
Attacks
Devin. Brian helps. And when everything's like calmed down, Devin has been bit on his left arm, so he stays behind. They're like saying, cut it off. And I'm like,
yeah. So yeah, he stays behind.
And Jonathan, Brian, and Marnie and Chris are in the back of the truck. Chris climbs out like this hatch at the top and sees all the zombies gathering at like the front of the store. The radio in the cab of the truck says to avoid retail stores. And then Chris can't drive it because he hasn't taken shop class. I don't understand this.
That didn't make any sense, but I liked that it doesn't translate. Like, it's a fucking truck. Like, it doesn't drive the same as a car. You need, like, a CDL license to be able to operate that.
Well, and that's what's even worse is when he gets back into the truck, he says he can't drive it. And Jonathan's like, oh, you didn't take shop, did you?
Yeah.
Is there something about shop class that I don't know about?
In Massachusetts, I guess. Like, yeah, I'm going to teach you all how to drive trucks.
I mean...
I don't get it either. I thought that was like a weird line, really. It doesn't make much sense, but whatever.
Yeah, but one of the zombies out there had seen Chris when he was transferring between the cab and the back.
Bircher. He's one of the workers there.
And he comes and attacks, so they all have to go back into the warehouse.
Yeah.
So they end up on the roof. Meanwhile, Daddy Devin has been strapping on some roller skates because he saw how fast Emmett was in those things.
Yeah.
And he's just zipping around, yelling at Dennis, looking at different things. and a zombie breaks into the back room. And luckily, Dennis is on fire, so that's going to end up being helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So the people on the roof, you know, are kind of trying to figure out what to do. And Jonathan has had it. And he says he's gonna dive into the horde of people because he's sick. He is sick of all of these entitled customers. He's over it. He's like, this is not what this store is about. And he dives into the horde of people under the roof.
I don't understand what he was expecting to accomplish from this, because he just dives into a pit of shoppers. And like
world's worst mosh pit.
Yeah, you're gonna die, bro.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, like while all that was happening, Devin Sawa's character was like turning nozzles on
because
he's trying to like get some gas set up, I guess, because of the fire, just because like a big explosion to kill everything in there.
Yeah, and he gets a text from his ex-wife that the kids are all right. Yeah. So he's like, okay, that's all I need. He gets attacked by the rude grandma from the beginning, who's only recognizable by her grandma necklace.
I knew that she was going to be like the main one, though, because she's the one that's the most fucked up. She was the OG, other than, I guess, the guy from the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. Let's see. Mother is growing through the roof at this point, and Brian admits that they bit Devin.
Yeah, what the fuck, Brian?
Because they said that Devin is dead weight and was going to hold the whole group down, so they did what they had to do. And
they all get so mad at Brian.
Yeah.
And then Marnie and Brian kind of have like a little scuffle, and then they both fall over the side of the building. I guess they weren't aware of their surroundings, but they happen to find or like fall into like a fucking
trash,
like a dumpster.
Which What is this trope in movies that dumpsters are a safe place to land in? You don't know what's in the trash?
Could be fucking bottles, man. Yeah. Like glass, all kinds of shit. Yeah. There's it's not a safe landing, guaranteed. But Chris follows.
Yeah.
And now they're all outside and they're gonna leave Brian behind. But I guess Brian struggles really hard to like get out of all that garbage.
Yeah. Mother kind of looks like the Mecca version of Friday from Nightmare Part 5 with like all of the faces in his tum-tum.
So it's almost like a shunting type thing, which is, you know, Screaming Mad George. I guess may have taken inspiration from that right there.
Yeah. And Brian is like, I'm going to go talk to the customer. And they're like,
what?
I'm going
to get through to it.
Yeah.
It's manager talk.
Yeah. And they end up getting killed. At the same time, Devin runs out and they have like this plan. They're going to trick Big Turkey. I just keep coming up with different names for it at this point.
Big Turkey. Big Tuna.
Because it's kind of starting to look like a little bit like a turkey.
Kind of, yeah. It's like a dinosaur type thing.
Yeah.
It's
into weird. Grabbing a forklift. And when it does, it like explodes. So the whole store collapses and they run to Devin's car and drive off and they see other kaijus at other retail stores.
But they don't care because they're going to go get some pancakes.
Yeah, y'all want some pancakes.
They don't give a fuck anymore. And that's how the movie ends.
That's how it ends.
Mm-hmm. All right. How do you feel after talking about it?
I think I'm going to bump it to a 7.5.
Okay.
Because I think it's got good action, good pacing. Like I said, I care about the characters. I just generally really like it.
All right. I think I'm keeping mine at a 7.
Okay.
But I agree. Like, this is a fun movie. I liked watching it. I wish the monster would have been a little bit more interesting, but, you know, whatever. It's not that big of a deal. I still had a good time with it.
Okay. So our new average is 7.25.
Okay.
Talia was, she was into the movie. She started off, she was playing with Wallace the Walrus.
Yeah.
She was very excited about that. And then when she calmed down, she was just laying there watching the movie. So I think Talia is also going to give this a 7.5.
Okay. I think that sounds fun. Right. Yeah, she enjoyed herself.
And Zoe did watch the movie.
Yeah.
She was very into it.
I think she liked this one.
Yeah. It helps that Dour Dennis like was on fire for a good portion of it. So she was like, all right, I know where this is going.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Who did you relate to?
Dour Dennis.
If
I was a teddy bear, that's what I'd be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I guess, I don't know, man. I feel like we all, the older you get, I think the more you can relate to somebody like Devin Sawa's character. Because, like, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And it might not be the most glamorous thing that you want, but, you know, adults, it doesn't matter.
Adults have to pay their bills.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of times where I found myself, you know, doing stuff that, like, I wish I wasn't doing this, but, you know, like, everybody's got to do something.
Yeah.
And, like,
and also, those jobs need to be done.
Exactly, yeah. Like, it resonated with me. Because, yeah, we've all worked that shitty job before. And some of us, not, you know, a lot longer than you originally planned. Like, it's hard for that. Yeah.
And some people make the most out of it, and some people are just riding it out.
I liked seeing him make the most of it, and I thought it was really shitty of them to call him out on that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't forgive Chris for that.
Yeah.
Even though he, like, forgives Chris, and, like, Chris doesn't even really apologize. He's like, I'm kind of sorry. And he's like,
apologizes
whatever.
To Marnie
for
dragging her into it.
Yeah, it's just, like, he kind of gives him an apology whenever Devin, like, runs out of the store, like, whenever they're like, oh, you're alive, by the way, I'm sorry. He's like, yeah, don't worry about it, whatever. And then it's like, nah, you should probably worry about it, dude. You were kind of harsh. Like, I was really cool to you. I gave you a ride to work today.
But it sounds like he gives Chris a ride to work every day.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, like, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have a dream sequel? You want to see what happened on the other stores? Or do you want to follow?
I want to follow them.
All right, let's follow them.
I want to see what, like, Christmas shopping looks like. You know what I mean? Like, does this continue? Like, do they adapt to it? Like, you know, if we're taking some of the COVID motifs they have, like, you know, the retail heroes and whatnot, mm-hmm. can we see maybe, like, new normal?
Yeah, overcome it.
You know what I mean? Like, what's their new normal in this world?
I would like to see that, too.
Post-invasion.
I don't know how you would do that with the way that this develops, because we see multiple of those monsters existing.
It could be like a Shaun of the Dead situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they incorporate the zombies into day-to-day life.
like zombies are a little bit more easy to rein in than like a 100-foot tall monster. You know what I mean?
And maybe they are just like posted outside of like,
maybe it's like a
car dealership,
King Kong
now.
Type thing. Like where, you know, like, hey, we got a fucking like, you know, a sideshow here. Like, come shop at our store. We have a giant monster here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever. You know, there's something there. You could do something. All right. New tagline.
We have the hugest deals in town. And then put like a little asterisk and say deals are actually kaiju alien monsters.
Okay. Yeah. That would kind
of
like
it's
spoil
it. It's kind of a
movie.
Mouthful, but you know.
You know, I kind of like it, okay. Really, for sure, though. Because, I mean, yeah, whatever. It's like a, it's so fucking nice. I guess, yeah, it's a kaiju. We do get a kaiju.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Time for reviews.
Okay.
So I got our internet review. It's an IMDb score. 1 out of 10 says it's titled The Asylum Makes Better Films Than This.
Okay, Asylum does make good films, so I don't like the tone of this person already.
Isn't Asylum the ones that do Sharknado?
Sharknado, like Truth or Dare. Like, they do the sci-fi adaptations of, like, more popular movies.
Yeah, hey, man, that stuff has actually gotten pretty good lately, you know
sometimes
what I mean?
It's better than the blockbuster version.
Yeah, sometimes. All right, well, they go on to say, a low-budget schlock film with minor C-list actors. Jokes never landed most of the time, and the entire cast delivered one of the weakest performances of their career. If I knew this was on par with a cheap made-for-television movie level, I might not even consider watching this. The trailer fooled me big time. This film might be the worst thing that happened to Thanksgiving and Black Friday. Jesus Christ. I think that's unfair, man. Like, yeah, I mean, they may not be, like, the biggest actors, but what... Like...
I just, once again, I feel like this is somebody who doesn't maybe love horror comedy.
Yeah.
Or they have different expectations for horror comedy. They want the horror and the comedy to be bigger than what they are.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess, like, if the jokes don't land for you, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, that doesn't make it a shitty movie. Like, you know, like, they had more to offer other than that. What about the horror? Did it, like, did any of that do it for you? Didn't like the gore, the monsters, all that shit.
Also, maybe this is a person that wants Bruce Campbell to be Ash, because
yeah.
I think he did really good as Jonathan.
I was
it's
very
a different
shocked.
Character for him, yeah. But that's what makes it like so good seeing him act that out. He does a good job with it.
I loved his character here. I loved how he did it. I love that man's voice. Whenever he got on the PA for the first time, I was like, oh my god, that's such a good voice, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got ASMR voice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I thought the cast did great. I thought, even though, like, I mean, it's not like they felt like they were too big for this. They didn't phone it in. Like, everybody gave a great performance from what I could tell.
Yeah.
But whatever, you know, if you didn't think so, I guess more power to you. But let's see what other people have to say. We have one listener review, and it's from our buddy, Michael E. Howard.
Yay.
Michael says, Black Friday, or should I say Green Friday? Is a fun, wild ride. How can you not love a movie with Devon Sawa and Bruce Campbell? This dark comedy is going to be added to my November list. I love the dark humor, the ridiculousness of each character, and the fun storyline. 7 out of 10.
All right. Once again, right in line with our thoughts on it.
It's perfect. Yeah. Honestly, that's a good combo. Bruce Campbell and Devon Sawa. I never thought it would happen, but I'm happy it did.
Yeah. I'm sure the first person to put peanut butter and jelly together was like, is this going to be a good combination? Yeah. And now it's a classic. So.
Exactly. Yeah. And also.
Wait. Of the two, which is peanut butter and which is jelly? I
think Devon Sawa is peanut butter.
That's what I was going to say.
Because, you know, peanut butter, like, people, like, they know, like, it's nutty. Like, they know what to get from it. You know what I mean? But
and you compare it with other things, like honey and chocolate.
Exactly. It's flexible. However, with jelly, like Bruce Campbell, everybody has, like, a fixed thing that they want it to be.
Yeah, people debate about jelly versus jam versus preserves.
Exactly. He's like, I'm not.
He's like, I can be all three.
You might be cast in jelly.
Yeah.
But I'm Bruce Campbell. He should say that next time. Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, I love it. But like I was going to say, like, I just love holiday themed movies and I want more Thanksgiving movies to be coming out because it's an overlooked holiday.
Yeah, I don't like the ones that are like a stretch like May. This kind of takes place around Thanksgiving. Like, we've made stretches like that before. I saw somebody was like, well, Christie technically takes place during the Thanksgiving break. It has nothing to do with Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's just a way to like vacate the school campus. But
we watched Your Next just because we're like, well, it's a family gathering for a meal. Yeah. It's very pointedly not Thanksgiving, but we're like, it's a similar kind of vibe. So we just went with it. But like, yeah, it would be nice to have like very definitively like Thanksgiving.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Black Friday is like a cool aspect of it. Like, there's a lot to explore. I like that we got to see like the retail side of it. Because, you know, like that's a horror story all on its own.
Yeah, honestly. I feel like, honestly, this is a thing that I wanted to talk about, our most memorable Black Friday stories. Because neither of us has done a ton of Black Friday shopping, partially just because I don't have the energy for it, but also because, you know, I don't want to feed into the monster. You know what I mean? I don't want retail workers to have to deal with it every year. Funny. And if people don't shop with it, then they won't.
That's funny that you bring that up, because both interviews that I read for this right here, both of the people asked, both Devin Sawa and Bruce Campbell, so like, what's the craziest Black Friday thing you've ever experienced? And they're both like, yeah, I don't do it. Like, it's just, like, I'm not like a crowd person. I don't like doing that type of shit. Like, it's just not for me. But okay, what do you have? What was yours?
One time my older sister talked me into going to Black Friday, and this is when we're living in Western Kentucky. She convinced me to go to Hopkinsville, or she convinced me to go to Clarksville to the mall. And we did, and it was very crowded, and I got overheated and got really sick.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, we need to leave. And I was like, ha, 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 ha. My immune system worked in favor for me this time. Because, like, I did not want to be there. I was not having a good time. I went because I love my sister, and she was having a good time. But then it was like, are you done? Because I'm really sick, and I'm sick of having to run to the bathroom every 5 minutes. So,
okay, I can't really think of any, like, big Black Friday type stories, but I can think of one that happened around that time. It's when the Nintendo Wii came out, and my mom and I showed up at Walmart at like 5 a.m. because they were doing a thing where the first 10 people in this chair will be able to get one guaranteed. And you have to run to the back of the store to get to that chair. So it reminded me a lot of this movie where we were all like, I had my Nintendo DS. I was just playing Mario. We were just like chilling. And then right whenever the time hit, like, they cleared the aisles, and then as soon as the doors opened, we all ran through the store, and I made it second.
Nice.
Second chair. I was a fast little kid.
Nice. Yeah. Good job.
But, that was crazy. That was, like, the most Black Friday-esque thing that I ever did. Because, like, I've been, but I usually wait for the crowd to die down if I go. Like, I'm not there for doorbusters or anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you guys have any, share it with us. You know, we'd like to know. And I'll make that a question on our Spotify poll here. Like, we can do Q&A. So,
yeah, open-ended. What's your craziest or most memorable Black Friday story?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, tell us if you want to. Or if you don't want to do it through Spotify, just message us whatever way you want to.
If you don't want it to be read out loud, be sure to specify that, because we can't guarantee we won't share some of the more interesting ones.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and that'll be good. But whatever. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah, I hope whatever your plans are today, whatever your family situation is, travel situation, that you're having a safe day and that you feel happy and loved in whatever environment you're in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we really appreciate you guys. We're thankful for you guys, I guess we should say. We're thankful for our patrons.
Nice.
Like Joe Freakatron.
As is his name. You did it again.
Joe
Freakatron,
as is his full name.
Jesus, Travis.
Amber and Michael. But we really appreciate you guys here. You know, it's great that you guys support us. We really do appreciate that, like I said. But if you are unable to do so financially, you can also rate and review us on whatever platform you listen on. That does us a huge favor. By
also, if you follow us.
Yeah, and following us is a big too. It lets people know that you're interested in us. So that way our platforms will be like, hey, let's recommend them to other people too.
Yeah.
If you could do that, and you can find us online on social media at Twitter and Blue Sky, or Blue Ski, as Jesse likes to say, Least Fave Pod, Instagram and Threads, Least Favorite Scary Movie Podcast, Facebook, What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie, and we have our website, whatsyourleastfavoritescarymovie.com, and also leastfavoritescarymovie@gmail.com if you want to email us. It's always open, so you can always reach out to us however you want. We really appreciate you guys. thank you guys for being here.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, hope you guys enjoy your Thanksgiving, and we will catch you guys next week.
Yep, next week.
In December.
Actually, no, next week is still November.
Is it?
Travis, yep, one more Thursday.
Fuck. Okay, yeah.
Joyride. Joyride.
Dude, I cannot wait for Joyride. I'm so glad that you
That was like
that.
An impulse pick. I was like, we were just talking about it, and I kind of want to watch it. God, right now, one thing to be thankful for is there's a lot of free options to stream Joyride. It's awesome. On YouTube. It's on Tubi. It's on Plex. You can also stream it on YouTube TV Prime Premium if you already have that. You can rent it on Google Play, Vudu, or Prime as well. It's a fantastic movie, and it's one that I can't believe we haven't talked about yet because we love it.
Yeah, it's been one of those ones that like there's movies that I love that I want to talk about. I want to wait for the right time. I feel like this is the right time to talk about Joyride. I'm finally ready to talk about it.
Yes.
So
kind of
getting a little bit leading into Christmas time. Yeah. We're going to be talking about candy canes.
Yeah. I also was like, what movie? Because if you guys noticed, we did all of like our bonus stuff this weekend, so we can just kind of enjoy our long weekend next weekend. And I was like, what movie do I want to throw into that long weekend?
I like it.
Joyride.
I like it a lot. Yeah. All right, cool. Yeah. Well, we look forward to seeing you guys there.
All right. Until next time.
Bye. I'm sorry, I've been burping, and I'm sure you can smell them. That'll be my takeout.
Just keep talking. Jesus, stop waving it over at me.
No, I'm waving it towards me.
You're not.
Sorry.